Anyways, last time we got together, man, we was talking about faith, wasn't we? Yes, we were. That was part 11, if I remember. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I think we're in part 12 tonight, if that's right. But anyhow, let me see where I left off. We spoke some things about Enoch's walk, didn't we? Did we talk about Enoch's walk? I believe that we did. And what an amazing walk that he had. God took him by the nape of the neck and said, come on up here. Amen. Yeah, he just didn't want to be without him. And I believe God's going to, it's going to come to that point for all of us when he says, come on, let's go. Let's do this thing. But it'll be at the perfect timing. So we talked about those secrets of prayer. That was from a prior time. I was finishing up on that. And then we got into Noah's faith works. Is that right? We talked about how he was warned of things of not seen, things that were not seen. Again, faith will do that. Faith will let you see things that other people can't see. And see, people don't understand when you're preparing and you're buying extra food and you're paying debts off and you're doing whatever you can to make life more easy for you, that is an act of faith. And people look at it as fear, and they look at it as doubt, and, you know, why are you doing that? And some look at you as you're crazy, or what have you. But then when they have need, they'll be like, where's that stuff you said you had? Where's the spam, you know, or what have you? So faith is, you know, it sees things that are not there, but they're there. And that's faith, and that's a powerful thing. Remember, he moved with fear. Not religious fear, but reverence. He reverenced God, and he said, God, I want to do this thing. And that's what we're doing. That's what we want to do, is we're moving with reverence. Because how many of y'all know, because of what we're doing by preparing to help people, by obeying God, we're worshiping him when we help others. And we bring the message and the good news and a loaf of bread, if you will, to them. So it's a powerful thing, and this is what Noah was doing. He moved towards God. Remember that faith will make you move. Faith will make you move. Again, people tell me, well, I got faith, and they don't do nothing. I said, no, you don't have faith. You're just sitting down. You're just jabbering. You're just vain jangling. Remember that on Sunday? You're just talking stuff. It doesn't do no good. Get up and do something. If you want to see your faith in action, work it. If not, it's just a motor mouth. You got enough of that going on. Faith will obey. Remember, fear will not. Faith will obey. Faith will obey. Remember this. Faith always moves, but fear will paralyze you. So overcome your fear with faith, and you'll move. All right? So we talked about that. I could give you all those one-liners again, but we're going to move along. And I think that's where I pretty much will left off. And then faith will make you an heir. Remember that. It'll make you an heir. It'll give you an inheritance. Faith gives you an inheritance. One of the greatest gifts we can ever give to our children is not some type of financial blessing. Even though a financial blessing is good, but a financial blessing will only last so long. Besides, with the death tax, so much of it goes to the government anyways. Is anybody here today? And then this tax and that tax, and by the time you get your peanuts in your hand, you know, it's nothing. So, but an inheritance is a nice thing, but to pass on faith is a tremendous thing. I'm so grateful, I know you all are, of people in your lives and your upbringing who imparted some aspect of faith, whether it was a praying grandma, or people, or whoever, you know, a family member, a youth pastor. Most of us, even though we went to hell and back is good, we can remember preachers we knew, and old pastors who prayed for us and stuff. Well, that's a legacy of faith, an inheritance of faith. So let's move on. We're going to go back over to Hebrews chapter 11. That was a pretty short little thing, wasn't it? I did pretty good, huh? We're going to talk about Abraham. We're going to talk about Abraham. I think we touched a little bit on it as I went back and looked at some of that Wednesday night. That's pretty much where we finished up. We're going to talk about this. So by faith or through faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Now notice this, he had to go before he got the stuff. The most problems that we have in Christianity, we want the stuff, then we'll go. It doesn't work that way. If God called you to do something, called you to a ministry, called you to something for his kingdom, to do something great for him, or just to daily obey him, you've got to go do it before you get paid. Right. Most people will get paid before the, come on somebody, before the week is over. No, you get paid at the end of 40 or whatever you agreed upon, and that's the way it is. You know, can you advance me? No, I can't advance you. Can you advance your work? Why don't you get out of my office and go do something? All right. So by faith, when he was called to go into a place which he should afterwards receive for inheritance, he did what? He complained about it and moaned and said, give me what's mine. No, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. So we know that faith produces obedience. Faith produces obedience. If you truly have faith in God, you will obey. Remember this, the things of God, the plans of God, the commandments of God, the mission, the mandate of God are non-negotiable. I mean, you can try to work a deal out with God. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to be closed-minded and say no, but you know, usually when you try to negotiate with God, it really doesn't work too much. Can somebody say amen? It's the truth. I remember, you know, things in my life, the beginning of ministry, and, you know, God wanted me to do certain things, and I wanted to do it halfway. Come on, can I just do it this way? And it's like, no, you're going to do it my way or no way. Okay? But if you truly walk in faith, it's like, okay, God, you know, I really don't understand it. I don't like this. It scares me, whatever. It inconveniences me, but I'm going to obey you because I have faith in you and I trust you. Remember, faith, the best definition for me for faith is trust. I trust you, Lord. I may not understand it all, but I trust you. All right. So faith produces obedience. Faith produces obedience. I also wrote there last time, I think I put down with faith. Faith jumps. It just jumps. Faith doesn't procrastinate. Well, you know. You know, tomorrow, no, faith says, come on, let's go, let's do this thing. Man, I wake up in the morning, I'm pumped. My children are like, what? Let's go, let's win the world, let's set it on fire, let's do something for Jesus. Can I have some Cocoa Puffs first? All right, get your Cocoa Puffs, then we're going to go, and then they're on fire. Is that right, connoisseur? You don't eat breakfast, so it doesn't bother me. He's ready. Judah's like me. He's ready to go. Why is that? Why do you do that? Why are we like that? Because faith jumps. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, and let's pull some principles out of here I wrote down before service to add to my teaching that the Lord showed me. So let's do that. So faith jumps, man. If your faith ain't jumping, you know what? You got to get some, you got to change the batteries in your faith or something. You got to get something going, okay? And I don't mean everybody's on the same level, energy-wise, age-wise, physicality, those things. It just means that your heart's like, God, what do you want me to do? I'm ready. I want to serve you. Now, I feel like I'm 100 years old, but I'll help you. Come on, church. I don't really feel like doing this today, but what can I do to serve you? Okay, so faith jumps, even if it's just like this. Okay, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. The King James writers, I love them because you know they were rednecks. I mean, don't you know that, right? They were country people. Get away from your kindred. Somebody else say, family. No, kindred. I love it. So the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country from the kindred and from the family's house unto a land that I will show thee. So I'm going to pull some principles out of here, if that's okay. Number one, faith will require you, and I'll say it slow and I'll do it a couple times. Faith will require you to disconnect from things and people you're familiar with. Faith will require you to disconnect from things and people you are familiar with. Now, let me clarify that, because There comes a time in your walk and your development of faith that God will require you and I to disconnect from those things and people that are familiar so they don't hinder your growth, your faith, or the movement God has you in. It's called a season of isolation. But isolation is temporal. This is where I have to throw the balance in there, because there's people that just, well, I hate my family. They don't know Jesus like I do. They don't pray the way I do. They don't go to church the way I do. And I hate them. I hate them. And then, you know, I'm on my own journey. No, you're very close to being, you know, very dangerous. Isolation is seasonal. And what I want to teach you out of this here is watch what he said. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country. Get away from the place that's familiar to you. To really walk in faith and to develop the faith that you have to go somewhere you've never gone before. And when you go somewhere you've never gone before, there's a requirement for you to do something you've never done before. That's going to take a little while to soak in and repeat that, but that's what you have to do. You have to do that. You have to separate yourself from the familiarity of a particular place. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's different for everybody else. It doesn't have to be geographical. It doesn't mean a location. It could just be away from certain things you used to do or things you watch or whatever it may be. You take a season of isolation. You separate yourself because God's about to take you into a new season. Does that make sense? But again, you don't act like an isolationist and some type of zealot. That's what the word I was looking for, some religious zealot nut. Ah, I can't talk to you today. It's Sunday. Don't ever call me after two. You know, whatever. There are people that are whacked out there. You know, you don't use the King James Bible? Yes, sinner. No, I use the Bible that Paul used. Paul didn't use the Bible. Okay. Just blow him away with that one. Okay? So he said, get out of the country. Then he said, what? Get away from your kindred. Get away from your family. Now this is getting deeper. But see what faith is requiring? Faith was requiring for Abraham to get away from what he knew and to get away from the folks he knew. Now we understand that Abraham's family, they were astrologists. I mean, they were into witchcraft and paganism and crazy stuff like that. We get that and understand that. But we also understand his daddy was very wealthy. And he had it made in the shade at the house. So we had all these negative things that would not, listen to this, all the negative things environmentally that would not allow for the development of faith in Abraham. So he had to get out. Look, if you're trying to be a weightlifter, you know, probably working at Wendy's or Haagen-Dazs or Baskin-Robbins or Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kremes would probably be a little rough. In fact, most bodybuilders I know usually worked at GNC or at a gym or changing tires. You know, you get my point. To be a taster at a buffet is not probably the one job you need when trying to be athletic. So I got to get away from that. And so that does not make my faith conducive. Again, it's seasonal. And it will give you a great example is that when God called me into ministry, he called me to go to Bible school to get me out of the atmosphere and the environment that I was in with family and all that stuff to bring me to a season of isolation. He does that to everybody, to a season of isolation to develop the faith that's in me, the vision that's in me, in order to do what I'm doing today. Does that make sense? I didn't stay in there. I had to get out of it, okay? So remember, it's a season of isolation. Now watch this. This is another statement I want you to hear. It is the incubator of greatness. It's the incubator of greatness. That's where the greatness of God in your life is developed, is in the time of isolation. When you get away from certain people and certain things for a season. Now, there may be a lifetime of it. I mean, if you're part of the Hell's Angels and you get saved, you probably shouldn't go to the next chapter meeting. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, you could to go witness, but I don't know how far you're going to get out the door. You get what I'm saying, you know, or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. So you get the whole point. Oh, man. Somebody says, they're not saved. They got angels in their name. No. Okay, so faith will require you to disconnect. So we see that here in this first principle. Get thee out of the country and away from your kindred and from the Father's house unto a land that I will show you. I will show you. Okay? So faith, the second point I want you to see here, or third, however you're writing this down, faith gives you sight. Faith gives you sight. Well, how do you see what you see, so-and-so? I see it by faith. Well, I don't see it because you don't have my eyes. You don't have the sight and the vision that God gave me. One of the things a pastor has to do and you have to do and your families or whatever is when God speaks to you about a vision or whatever, you have to be able to cast the vision and let people see through your eyes the vision God gave you. That's what a man should do in his family. That's what he should do in his own house, is cast the vision of what God requires of the house in order that the house can see it. And if it's a female running the house, the same thing. Here's the vision. Here's how we're going to live. Here's the direction we're going. Well, I can't see it. Well, sorry, this is the way it is, and, you know, come along. Does that make any sense? And you have to do that constantly in ministry, and you're going to be sometimes kind of hanging out there with, you know, nothing in the back to cover because it gets wild, it gets, you know, weird and whatever, but you see it. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? So faith gives you sight. Faith gives you sight. Okay? So let's move on. So he said, I will show you. So he's going to take him to that land. He's going to show him. So he had to go through faith. He had to go through the process of faith. He had to go through the process of isolation. He had to disconnect himself. And then the reward was a land that he was going to show him. Now, please think about this for a second. Let's use our minds for a second. I love using my imagination. Abraham doesn't have a Bible. Abraham doesn't have an iBible. He doesn't have a scroll. He doesn't have a prophet. He doesn't have a pastor. He doesn't have a Christian bookstore. He has nothing. Nothing. He's heard voices in the past. He's looked through the lens of paganism and things like that. And I say he heard voices because they dealt with those things in his father's type of ministry, if you will, his pagan lifestyle. And here he is, all of a sudden God is speaking to him, but who is God? He doesn't really have a total conception, but in his heart something is happening that this is the God. This is different than the other gods. And see, faith will do that. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He heard God and faith began to arise, even though it was as a mustard seed and it was small, it began to arise. And he said, if you'll do these things, Abraham, separate yourself from the past, go into that season of isolation. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to show it to you. That's huge. We have the Bible, we have a preacher, we have music, we can get pumped up when we're feeling down. We got all this stuff, this mechanical irrigation of Christianity, and we don't do anything. We ought to hang our heads down and say, I'm a slug. Because you are. I am. It's pitiful. How are we ever going to reach the level of a hall of fame of faith? And I'm not beating up the church. I'm just talking in general terms. How do we reach that level, the hall of fame of faith of chapter 11 of Hebrews, when we got all this pep talk and pep rallies and rah, rah, shish, kumbah, win the world, ha, ha, ha. Hey, we're having a packing party next week. Oh, man, you know, praise God, I'm going to be a woman. You know what I'm talking about, man? I would help, but I would do this, but I would, yeah, look, get your butt out of the way and let's do it. Thank you. Is that not right? Yeah, that's right. That's the truth. I'm talking to me too. I got a big giant mirror. I'm looking at myself, man. We pale so short. We fall so short when we look at faith, but we don't have to. We don't have to. But Abraham was in that situation where he had nothing, and he took God's word at face value, and he walked on that word. We can do greater things. I'm telling you, we can do greater things in our lives and in our families and our ministries. Everybody's connected to this. We can do, and we are doing great things. We're going to do greater things. Jesus said we would. But that's going to take greater faith. And we got the goods. I'm about to run around. We got the goods. Man, we got the word. We got the testimony. We got this testimony that Abraham, the father of faith, had nothing. And he took God at his word, and the rest is history. Bam, and now that's in us. Remember this. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. They had the Holy Spirit on them. Right. It's the truth. Look it up. Study it out. We get the blessed hope. We get the blessed spirit of grace inside of us. They didn't. The prophets only prophesied when the Spirit came on them. We prophesy because the Spirit's in us. Ah, praise God. Anyways, all right. Is today Sunday? Next verse, please. Very calm, very calm. And I will make thee a great nation. Go ahead, punk. Make my day, right? I will make you a great nation. It's all in context of the promise of God to Abraham. You get away from your family. You get away from the stuff you knew. You get into a place of isolation. I'm going to show you these things. And in that process, I'm going to give you that land. And when I give you that land, I'm going to make you great. Is that what it says? Here's another bullet to put down there. Load up in your gospel shotgun. Faith makes you great. Faith makes you great. Now, in the definition of this, making you great, it means to enlarge you. Not your belt line, but you know what I mean. Well, it could if you get too blessed. It means to... Amen, brother. Bring in the hot dogs. Amen. Means to enlarge you, to bless you, okay? But faith will make you great. Listen, let me tell you something right now, and I'm just going to say it's not because we have relationships with them and we're friends. We could pick anybody in the world, but I'm just going to pick my Nigerian brothers, and I'm going to pick Oscar and his team. You have people that sit there, and they don't have much. My brothers and sisters in Cuba, wherever you want to pick the place, just pick it. They don't have much, but they're willing to lay down their life for Christ and preach this blessed gospel and just live as a Christian. They're not all preachers that are dying. They're just Christians going to church. That's right. In fact, these that were murdered over in Plateau State in Nigeria, they were four siblings in their home. They went in their homes and pulled them out and killed them and cut the hand off of a four-month-old boy. Are you here today? That's a reality for these Christians. But they had faith. They didn't flee. They had faith, these pastors and whoever else. They have faith. In other words, it'll make you great. When we think of faith of greatness in America, we think of cars and stuff and look at my faith. That's not what it means. When you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and see the hall of fame of faith, and we're going to go through all of this, many of them, nearly all of them never obtained it. But God said they had great faith and included them right there. Do you see? You see how lopsided things are in the American church and Christianity in general? Again, it's not to condemn you and I. What it's to do is to build our faith. And somehow somebody takes this message and goes to a place of isolation and says, Lord, I want to develop my faith. I want to develop the vision you gave me, whatever you want me to do. And again, you don't have to be a minister. This is not a minister's sermon or teaching. This is for everybody. Because everybody in this room and everybody connected to this ministry ought to have a vision for your home and for your life. That's why at the New Year's Eve service, we always declare five things for the coming year to give you vision for the coming year, something you to go after. It's a target. You got to target your faith. You want to write that down too. You want to target your faith. Give your faith a target. And I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this, the Lord knows my heart because he just put it in my heart to say this. Give God something to do. Give God something to do with you. That is no challenge to him. You think that bothers him? Well, I got too much to do today. No, I mean, Christine, you've been, hey, you're done. Your quota's done. You've asked way too much this week. That's all I hear. Daddy, 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 daddy. I mean, God doesn't do that. I may do it, but he doesn't do that. Aren't you glad God don't do that? Angels, hold Mark's prayers back. He's reached his data level. Too much Instagram. No, man, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. But give faith a target. Target your faith. And like I said, give God something to do. He wants to. This is the thing about it. He wants to. He wants to do something. He's not bored. Curtis at all. He's not bored. He wants to do stuff. I mean, he wants to bless you, and he's not too busy to do that. All right, so let's move along. So I'll make thee a great nation, and then I'm going to do what? I'm going to trash you. No, I'm going to bless you. I'll bless you. Where is he getting blessed, and where is he being great? At the place God sent him. A lot of people in a lot of our lives, we're out of touch with God. We need just a little bit of adjustment. We just need to get in the right place with God. That doesn't necessarily mean geographical. Sometimes it does. Sometimes we make a move and God does something great in our lives. I can testify that. You can testify that. Many people can testify. I just made one move and God blessed it. Right. I've also made a wrong move and I paid for it. Yes, I have. Okay. But he says, I will bless thee. So let's look at this other point. Faith, listen to this. Faith will give you abundant favor. Because in the word here, bless, it speaks of favor. It speaks of favor. I will bless thee. Of course, some of the Hebrew translation, it means to kneel and to bow down. And then other aspects of that word, it means to give favor. I bless you. If I bless you, I'm favoring you. That's why we have to bless people. We have to favor them. When we go do what we do in the outreach and what you guys do, the man of ministry, and what we do in our community and blah, 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 as Christians, we're favoring people. We bless them. Okay? But here, the word in the Amplified translates out more as to abundant favor. So faith will give you abundant favor. Well, I don't know why this guy always has more favor than me. Well, first of all, favor's not fair. And you don't know the walk of faith that they've been in.
That's right. That's right.
What price did you pay? Well, I mean, if God would really allow us to see the life of another person and what they've gone through, we would go, I don't want to go through that. I want his stuff, but I don't want to go through that. Is that right? So, you know, we just got to recognize that what your life is your life. Be thankful for it. Quit looking at another pastor. Quit looking at another field, another, you know, over the side of the creek. Be glad about what God has given you. And if you don't like where your life is with favor, find some more faith, develop your faith, go to God and say, Lord, increase my faith. And as you increase your faith, favor comes. Listen, God didn't, let me say it this way. God didn't give us things as a ministry, as a church, on day one. Oh, no. Get Jennifer's book and you'll get a part of what happened. He didn't give us things and what we have. It had to be developed. But what had to develop? The stuff? No, the stuff was always there. God's provision was always there. God's goodness was always there. He didn't develop into liking me. He's always loved me. Don't be jealous. See? He's loved you too. He's loved you with an amazing love and a relationship that doesn't compare. I can't compare because he loves you more. But he loves me more than you. And so, what had to happen? I had to be developed in order to handle what was given to me. We know personally ministers that got everything early and today are either in the grave, they're selling cars, nothing wrong with selling cars, they're out of the ministry, they lost everything. had television, all that different stuff. What big deal? Big deal, right? They weren't developed because their faith wasn't developed. But if your faith is developed, again, we're watching the process with Abraham. Isn't he the father of faith? Shouldn't I go to the process of the father of faith? So I, as a son and a daughter, we could learn the process of faith? That's what we're doing. He did it, and as he's God's promising him here, faith will give you abundant favor. I don't know about you, but I need favor. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good looking enough. I'm not athletic enough. I'm none of these things to be able to open any door in my life. I don't have the ability. Now, before I was saved, I could connive, I could manipulate, I could lie, I could cheat, I could deceive, and I could steal. Mark, does that sound like you? All of us. I had the tremendous ability to do that. But outside of those fleshly abilities, I've got no ability without God. Does that make sense? Because I can't do nothing in the kingdom without faith. Neither can you. But if we use our faith, we'll have abundant of favor. Okay. That all right? So let's look at the next thing. And then he says, so he's going to bless you. He's going to give you an abundant favor. And then he says, I will make thy name great. I will make thy name great. What does that mean? In one translation, in Amplified, it means that famous and distinguished. Famous and distinguished. Again, when we think of fame, we think of American Idol, a social media influencer, you know, millions of views and followers and all that stuff. No, you can be famous in heaven and feared in hell and have no real following at all. So he said he'll make his name great. So faith will make your name great. Again, greatness, we got to get this out of the American mindset. The greatness is not having your name at the Hollywood star, you know, the walkway or whatever it is, or having a gold album. Being great is what God considers great. Remember that? John the Baptist? Talking about the servants and who's going to be great and all that, and they had a big argument about it. Also looking at the widow who gave her two mites, her retirement, gave all she had, and Jesus said she gave the most of everybody. Remember, the kingdom of God is opposite than the world. The world says you have to steal, you have to push your way to the top. The kingdom says give everything you have. Let someone else go in front of you, and I'll promote you. That's not the American way, is it? So he'll make your name great, all right? So that's important. I want my name great. I want my name great in heaven. I want to be a servant of all. I want to hear, well done, the good and faithful servant. I really do. And then as soon as I get that little trophy and title and all that, little crown, I'm going to go, here you go. It's yours. I never deserved it. All right, I make the name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I want you to see this. Thou shalt be a blessing. Circle that and highlight that and underline it and put it in your spirit. Thou shalt be a blessing. In other words, you're going to become a reservoir or an outlet or a treasury box, if you will, of blessing. This is what he was telling Abraham. And so added to our bullets and to our information here, faith will make you a storehouse of blessings. Faith will make you a storehouse of blessings. And I put there blessings, not just a blessing, blessings. Again, get out of the American mindset of multi-millions of dollars and all that different stuff. Get into the aspect of that if you are a conduit of faith, God will bless you. Remember this thought as well. If God can get it through you, God will get it to you. If God can't get it through you, you're not going to get it from Him. You're not. If you're a hoarder and you won't give, you won't get from God. You can get stuff by hoarding, sure, but you won't be able to give it in abundance. It'll rot on you. It'll get stagnated. It'll be like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea takes in and it doesn't give out. That's why it's dead. A true sea, a true ocean flows. It comes in, it goes out, it flows, it comes in, it goes out. So faith is the same thing. I believe God, and I give freely because freely I received. You see that? I receive from God, and I give, and I freely give it. And as I do that, it's a process. That's why God has blessed us as a church and as a people. Again, we're not, you know, diamond rings falling off and jewelry, you know. What was it, that bishop that just got robbed in New York of $1 million-something of jewelry? I am like, hello. Okay, I probably have maybe, this. I think this ring's fake. You know, are anybody here? It's absolute insanity, but in fact, they just found out too that the congregation is going to sue him for embezzling some money, so I don't know how that happened, but anyways, is anybody here? So you become, faith makes you a storehouse of blessing. I want to be a storehouse of blessing. I want to be, when they call on us and say, look, we got an emergency, and then we're getting close to that, to where people are going to, are calling on the disaster relief thing. I'll just tell you some good things are happening. That we can say, yes, we're there, we're coming, we got the stuff, we're going to be available. We're already doing that, but like an overseas, you know, and if Oscar or whoever, hey, man, we got something going on, we really need to help, like the motorcycles, man. How many did we get? 6 motorcycles? Something like that. It was 5 and then another one, or I don't remember now. I got to go look at it. I was like, yeah, let's do it. Isn't that awesome? Because God used us. I'm talking to everybody. Everybody's attached to this family. Just used us. And if we keep doing that, God will keep blessing us and blessing us and blessing us because we're not trying to hoard it. I want a good, safe facility. I want things like that. I like to build another building should the Lord tarry and give us the opportunity. That's great. But I'm not building anything so they put my name on a street somewhere and that's my legacy. No, my legacy is helping those around the world. Your legacy. Now, listen, faith will make us that storehouse of blessings. And we're going to be that way. That's all. If you want to find some, you know, hang out with some hoarders, go ahead. You won't find it here. We're going to give. You say, well, you know, times are tough. But give your way out. Let me give you a quick teaching example. Can I just do this? I didn't drink no coffee before I got here. I'm just fired up. I just got back from Kentucky yesterday, man. I'm fired up. But Joseph taught us to sow in the time of what? Famine. Yes. Sow in the time of famine. The best time to ever sow is during your worst time. Yes. I'm going to preach to you now. Yes. Well, all I got is lent an old piece of gum. Throw it in an offering. You're looking at me crazy now. Can I tell you how many times I've put lint in an offering bucket? Mm-hmm. She knows. I'm about to cry right here. I had nothing. Yeah. Nothing to give to God but my faith. I gave a button. I ripped the button off my shirt. Flo, I'm about to do a jig right here. Hey, I ain't got to worry about shirts no more. I got enough buttons to gag a maggot. My mom, I heard somebody used to say it when I was growing up, man, you ate so much food, you can gag a maggot. Ooh. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. There's other stories I can tell you. I'm not going to tell you all right now, but why did I do that? I didn't do it out of fear. I didn't do it out of manipulation because the preacher was breathing down my neck. I did it because I wanted to give to God. I didn't have anything. I just didn't have anything, but I gave what I had. What does that do? That increases your faith. And you don't think God looks down and says, I love that guy. I love that girl right there. He did it to the widow. She's forever enshrined in that Bible. We don't know her name, really. I mean, we don't know much about her. I don't see no picture of her. But she's enshrined in that story. Forever. In the Word of God. Because she gave all she had. Man, I'm telling you something. You don't think she's dancing in heaven and blessed right now? Oh, I bet so. She may have a street named after her. I don't know. I got to finish this right here. Can you give me just 2 more minutes? Y'all took up my time earlier anyways. So faith will make you a storehouse of blessings. Okay? He said, thou shalt be a blessing. Let's go on next verse. I think I can finish it on this one. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now watch this. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse those who curse thee. Faith will protect you. Yes. Faith will protect you. Yes, it will. Because if I'm a giver and God wants to get stuff through me, then he's going to find a way to protect me so he can get the stuff through me. In other words, you become a valuable person. Faith makes you valuable. Well, we're all valuable, Pastor. Yeah, I know. I know, honey. You're valuable. But some of us are more valuable. Come on. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Didn't say we're more special, more loved. But going back to favor, come on. If you're a giver, you become a little more valuable. See, that just doesn't go good in some churches because people get mad about that. And you talk about favoritism and blah, blah. Well, there is favoritism in heaven. And you know what the drawing line is? You know what the line is? It's not love. It's faith. That's the dividing line. Because he loves all equally. But love does not take place of faith. Faith makes the difference. That's all it is. Because aren't you glad it ain't about looks? Some of us wouldn't make it in. Some of us wouldn't make it in, right? No, we're all beautiful in our ways. I know, everybody's beautiful. You haven't been to a baby ward in a long time. There's some ugly babies out there. No, I mean, love doesn't look that way. Love looks at the heart, right? But faith makes the difference, and we have to understand that. All right, so faith will protect you. Faith will protect you. And then let me see this last thing. Curse them that curse thee, and thee all the families of the earth be blessed. You say, well, that's for Abraham. Well, yeah, that's definitely a specific prophecy for Abraham. But do you know that we can bless the families of the earth by being a blessing to them? If the church would ever get a hold of this and not be selfish and self-centered, just like the letter from Oscar from Nigeria, how can a pastor in a group of churches say that let's not feed the northerners and the gospel's not for them? That would be like saying it's not for this color or for that culture or for this person. It's insanity. So we can't be that way at all. We can bless the whole earth with our faith. You know that? We can bless the whole earth with our faith. And we're working on it from Ignited, amen. We're going to do all we can from Livonia. But we can't do it all. We've got to get other people hooked up in this thing of preaching the gospel and living by faith. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope it helped you some, encouraged you. You are beautiful. I'm looking at everybody. You get home today, tonight, when you get in the mirror, just go, I am special. Everybody's special. I love you. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach, teach, just minister on faith. Sometimes it's easier to talk about it than to do it. But with your power of the Holy Spirit, we can do this thing and walk by faith because you put it in us. It's not even ours in the sense that it comes from you. But you give us this gift and help us to develop it. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And Jesus, again, thank you for being our champion.